This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Leviticus. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of Leviticus, chapters 1 through 5.
What are your favorite smells? I love the smell of fresh honeysuckle. Man, it's so good. I love the smell of a new baseball glove, the leather on a new baseball glove. Or meat barbecuing over an open fire. Women tend to like perfumes and the smell of flowers. In fact, I saw a sign in a florist shop one time, "Bring flowers home to your wife. She must be mad at you about something." Hey, it probably never hurts to bring flowers to your wife. But what are God's favorite smells? Well, here, God loves the aroma of a sacrifice. And though we're no longer required to offer animal sacrifices to God, there are some New Testament sacrifices that you and I, as Christians, can offer to God. For example, Romans 12, verse 1. It tells us that rather than a carcass, today God would prefer a living sacrifice. God is no longer into dead sacrifices. He wants a living sacrifice. You can give your body to God as a living sacrifice. Hebrews 13, verse 15 encourages us to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Our worship and praise is a sacrifice. In Philippians 4, verse 18, Paul calls the financial contribution that you make to His work a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Your tithes and offerings are a sacrifice. Good works are also a sacrifice to God. Hebrews 13, verse 16, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Put it all together, and we can give to God a lot of sacrifices. We can give Him our body, our praise, our money, our good works. These are all ways that we can fill God's nostrils with sweet smells. Verse 14, "And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons." Now, this was a provision for the poor. A lamb could be quite costly, but everyone could afford a pigeon. This, too, was symbolic of Jesus. He was the innocent turtle dove who flew from heaven to earth and nested in a tree of wood that we call the cross. "The priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out at the side of the altar." And remember the ring that sat on Jesus' head? The only crown he ever wore was a crown of thorns. "And he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes. Then he shall split it at its wings, but shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord." In other words, if you couldn't afford to barbecue a lamb, you could offer God some wings. It's true. Either way, the key is verse 13. "The priest shall bring it all." Did you know that God wants all? You might be an expensive lamb. You might be a cheap pigeon. But you know what? What God wants, He doesn't care whether you're a lamb or a pigeon. He just wants all of you. He wants your whole life, not bits and pieces. It is so true. If Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. It reminds me of the little boy who was sitting in church one Sunday when his dad handed him the offering plate as it was being passed. The little boy grabbed it. He put it on the floor right next to the pew. And then he stood up and he stood right in the offering plate. And his dad, he gasped. He said, "Son, what are you doing?" And that's when the little boy said, "Dad, we learned in Sunday school this morning that we're supposed to give ourselves to God." Again, today, God is into living sacrifices, not dead carcasses. God is pleased when we give to Him our arms and our legs, our eyes and our ears, our hands and our feet, our minds and our muscles. I read where the scientists at Illinois Tech have found that human beings are not only good sniffers, we're also little stinkers. It's true. The average person gives off at least 36 different body odors. 36! You are a little stinker. Add up the combinations, and that's over 100 different scents. And the researchers at Illinois Tech, they're developing ways of identifying people by their smell, or as they call it, their scent prints. You have a scent print. Well, if God took your scent print, the aroma that comes from your life, what sacrifices are you offering to Him? Would He be pleased? Would He consider your life a sweet aroma, a living sacrifice? Chapter 2 brings us to the grain offering, which was the only bloodless sacrifice. It spoke of service rather than the forgiveness of sin. I'm sure you realize that our good works and charitable deeds are completely unable to save us. We know that. It's been said, being good will keep you out of jail, but it sure won't keep you out of hell. Salvation is the result of a blood sacrifice, not a grain offering. And yet once we are forgiven, we're going to want to serve the Lord. The desire of our heart will be to present to Jesus the fruit of our hands, the results of our labor for Him, the grain offering. But just as the grain offering had to be prepared according to specifications, our works please God only when they're carried out in a specific manner. Verse 1 tells us, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. Notice the grain offering is unfit for sacrifice without oil. And of course, throughout the Bible, oil is a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit, right? That means that whatever we do for God always needs to be empowered and motivated and directed by the Holy Spirit. A work done without His influence is nothing but a work of the flesh. We're told He shall bring the grain offering to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour in oil with all the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. Now part of this offering was kept by Aaron and his family. It was their provision. The priest was supported by a portion of the sacrifice that the people gave to God. And we use this same principle today when we pay the pastor. A portion of your offerings are kept so that the pastors and their families can be supported and enables them to serve you and serve the Lord full time. Reading verses 4 through 7 again is like watching the Food Channel. And if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. Now evidently, the grain offering could be prepared in one of three ways. Either it was fried in oil, or it was mixed with oil and baked, or it was cooked and then covered with oil. And the symbolism here is extremely significant. For the New Testament teaches us that there are three experiences that we can have with the Holy Spirit. He is with us before we're saved. We are frying in the oil. He comes to dwell in us. Once we give our lives to Christ, the oil then is mixed in to the grain. But then after we're saved, He can come upon us with power. He can anoint us. and the oil is poured out upon the grain. Three experiences, with, in, and upon. And they're symbolized for us here in the grain offering. Whenever we serve in Jesus' name, God wants us to do so under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. For God to accept our offerings or our good works, they need to be simmered and sautéed and saturated with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. Verse 11. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. And why? Leaven is a type of sin, remember. Leaven is like pride. It corrupts by puffing up. That's why it's a symbol of sin. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. Notice the honey was also forbidden. You see, honey is a sweetener, but honey breaks down at high temperatures. It's a sweetener that can't stand up to heat and pressure. Honey is similar to the sweetness that we often see in church. On Sunday morning, we're on our best behavior, and we're just sort of prancing around the church, you know, being friendly and wanting to impress people with our sweetness. We want folks to go home and talk about us. Oh, she's so sweet, isn't she? That girl's just a real sweetheart. And we're all about trying to be syrupy and sweet and nice and so forth. But what happens when you put a little heat on that person? What happens when they find themselves under pressure? And suddenly something happens in their life that upsets them. Boy, you see their fangs. Hey, the syrupy, sappy, phony sweetness is going to break down. It's like honey. What we need is not sweetness. What we need is the fruits of the Spirit. His joy, His gentleness, His kindness. These are the ingredients that can withstand the high temperature, the heat, and the pressure. Verse 12, as for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Salt was a preservative, and so it spoke of longevity. Whenever we bring an offering to God, it should reflect an ongoing commitment. Not just a token, a one-time kind of thing. Let me do this and get God off my back kind of statement. No, whenever we offer a sacrifice to God, it should come with salt. It should be a long-term commitment of our love for Him. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire. Green grain represented the freshest, the best. Grain beaten from full heads, that's broken grain. God desires brokenness, doesn't He? He desires our best. He desires a broken heart. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. And again, the frankincense, the oil, speaks of the Holy Spirit. In fact, frankincense was used by the priest when he interceded for the people. It was associated with prayer. And as well as the Holy Spirit, all our good works need to be bathed in prayer. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. In chapter 3, the peace offering speaks of communion with God. Now remember, the burnt offering was sacrificed. It was burned up. But the peace offering, only the fat of the animal was laid on the altar. And in Scripture, the fat always symbolizes abundance. Remember that. The fat symbolizes abundance, excess. You see, God knows you have a demanding job. God knows you work long hours. God knows you have bills to pay. But what about the abundance of your time and your money and your effort? What about the excess? Well, we're told in chapter 3, verse 14, all the fat is the Lord's. Are you and I willing to take the surplus of our life and spend it on God? Does the Lord possess your fat, your extra? He should. The peace offering was the only sacrifice that the person made that he could also eat. In fact, it was sliced three ways. The person who offered the sacrifice ate a portion, the priest ate a portion, and then the fat was offered to the Lord. And it was all a symbol of fellowship and peace among all three who had offered the sacrifice, their peace between each other, between the worshiper, between the priest, between God. In essence, they were all eating together and all at peace with one another. They were enjoying each other's fellowship. Verse 1, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. In other words, God got the guts. He got the fat. The fat, the entrails, were sacrificed to God. Notice, God was offered the fat near the flanks. The other day, a group of us who, the group that recently went to Israel, we had a reunion, and Dave cooked up some Boston butt. It was the flanks. And you talk about good taste in barbecue. I mean, that meat was scrumptious. It melted in your mouth. It's interesting. Usually the fattier portions are the tastiest. But we know that they're also the most dangerous to our health, are they not? We know that the fat carries cholesterol and clogs the arteries. And I'm sure the Israelites thought, God isn't fair. He gets all the Boston butt. God, you're depriving us of the tasty beef. And I'm sure they assumed that God was spoiling their fun, that God was raining on their parade. Why does God get the fat? In reality, though, God was keeping them from what would harm them. He didn't want their arteries clogged. He didn't want them dying of a heart attack at an early age. And when will we learn this lesson? When God says no to us, no to sex before marriage, no to pornography, no to promotion at any price, no to a lifestyle that hoards money and refuses to give to God. When God says no to these things, He's doing so to save us from spiritual cholesterol. He doesn't want lust or fame or greed to cause in us heart disease. Yes, the fat in life is some tasty stuff. And is sex and drugs and alcohol and all these things, are these things tasty? Well, for a time they are. Nobody's arguing that. But God says no to the fat because He's looking out for our best interests. He sees dangers that we're not aware of. Therefore, He said no. Verse 6, if His offering as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. These instructions for a lamb are similar to those in verses 1 through 5 that applied to the bull or the cow of the herd. Verse 12, and if his offering is a goat, And again, the instructions are the same. If you want to eat a meal or fellowship, have a meal or fellowship with the Lord, He's happy to join you. And He doesn't really care what you're serving, whether it's a bull or a lamb or even a goat. But there's one prohibition, verse 17. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. And why were you not supposed to eat the fat? Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And why were you not supposed to drink the blood? Well, the blood was for the remission of sin. Chapter 4. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them," and notice, you're responsible for even the sins you've committed that you didn't realize you had committed. Notice that. If a person sins unintentionally, my kids excuse themselves all the time. "I didn't mean to. Ball goes sailing through my garage window, but I didn't mean to." But it doesn't really matter whether you meant to or not. God holds us responsible for our actions as well as our motives. Even an unintentional sin necessitated a sacrifice. And this was the sin offering. He says, if the anointed priest sins, and notice this is important. He is the anointed priest. The anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon this man. But he still sins. Isn't that interesting? Samson was a classic case. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve. But that anointing alone didn't necessarily produce a godly character. My daughter called me up the other day. She says, "Oh, I found this boy. Oh, he loves God. He serves God." I said, "Natalie, Samson served God too. Would you want to be his girlfriend?" I mean, just because you serve God, just because you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean you're going to be a godly person. Now, this young man may end up being a godly person, but I'm just saying, that alone is not enough to tell. You've got to look at the character of the person. He says, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, let them offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull. This was the same sacrifice offered when the nation sinned. Without blemish, as a sin offering, he shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Again, it was the principle of transference. The bull was slaughtered in the place of the sinner. Verse 5. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar on the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. The blood was spread 3 places. In front of the Holy of Holies, on the altar of incense, at the base of the altar of burnt offering. Those 3 places. And you ask, why those 3 places? And I can say to you, I have no idea. But know this, blood was splattered everywhere. Inside, outside, this was a bloody place, this tabernacle.
The book of Leviticus details how God instructed his people to sacrifice a perfect lamb to atone for their transgressions, teaching them and us the deep consequences of sin. This knowledge brings greater understanding to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus, God's only Son, brought for us. He came to earth and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, taking on all of our sin in doing so. We're now free from the penalty of our sin forever. All that's left for us to do is accept this free gift of forgiveness. If you'd like to know more about Jesus and how you too can live in freedom from sin, please call us at 770-736-2828. You can also connect with us by liking our Facebook page or following Pastor Sandy on Twitter. If you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we invite you to visit us in person here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We have services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You'll find location information and directions through our website at sandyadams.org. That's all the time we have for today on Sandy Adams Radio. We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. Join us again as Pastor Sandy continues to share insights from the book of Leviticus right here on Sandy Adams Radio.